We'll go to our call to worship. It's responsive. It's adapted from the PresbyterianMission.org. Children of God, rejoice. We live sustained by God's presence and love.
Thanks be to God.
As we mourn the wounds of God's children,
God weeps with us.
As we give thanks for brothers and sisters who have lived in faith,
God gives thanks with us.
As we struggle for justice,
God struggles with us.
As we strive for peace,
God strives with us.
As we work to build the beloved community,
God works with us.
As we offer our gifts to all,
God blesses us.
Children of God, rejoice.
Sustained by God's presence and love, we worship God. Amen. Gathering prayer this morning is unison, also adapted from PresbyterianMission.org. Gracious God, you create us and love us. You make us to live together in a community. We thank you for Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and all your children who've been filled with your vision for our lives and who have worked to bring your vision into reality. Fill us with your vision. Guide us to live by your vision, working to build the beloved community where everyone is welcomed, all are valued, power is shared, privilege is no more, and all your children know wholeness and well-being. Amen. Thank you, Jim. If I could have the Keiki join me here at the on the Zoom screen, or those who are Keiki at heart, you would join me. So
I just want to very briefly, many of you know that I wear t-shirts to tell a message. So I started out this worship service today with this Aloha shirt on because somehow it feels right when we gather on Sunday mornings to dress a little bit nicer perhaps than when I typically do. But I thought about it and I thought, nope, I need a t-shirt. So excuse me while I get undressed here in front of the church. And so I want you to see the t-shirt that I decided to put on. Can you see that? Act justly, love mercy, walk humbly, and walk humbly. These are the words from Micah chapter 6, verse 8. And every time I wear this shirt, it is as if I have tattooed those words on my chest. Act justly, love mercy, walk humbly. They are the words that I know so many of the folks in this congregation try to live by. And on a day like today, when we honor the legacy and the ministry and the work of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and people who have continued that work since his passing, it is these words, act justly, love mercy, walk humbly, in so many ways that define the work that they do. So not everyone has a t-shirt like this. So you're going to have to tattoo it on your soul in the best way that you can. So I'm going to ask you to just beat it out with me. All right. So I'm going to say, act justly, love mercy, walk humbly. And together we say that again. Act justly, love mercy, walk humbly. Act justly, love mercy, walk humbly. Act justly, love mercy, walk humbly. If we say that enough times, and beat ourselves enough times with that constant drumbeat of that which is right, it becomes part of who we are. Act mercy, act justly, love mercy, walk humbly. And in that spirit, let us unmute ourselves and let us greet one another with the peace of Christ, that peace that is love, that peace that is justice, that peace that is humility. Let us say, peace of Christ.
We'll go to our scripture readings from the Hebrew scriptures, Amos verse 5, Amos chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. I hate, I despise your festivals, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the offerings of well-being of your fatted animals, I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps. But let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. And from the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 10 through 17, an instruction, I think. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against the enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Thus ends the reading.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Jim, not only for the sharing of the reading of our scriptures today, but really for the leadership that you have demonstrated over all these years with the Martin Luther King Jr. Peacemaker Award ceremony that we have. We're so grateful for all of that. I thank you to Amos for calling us to the true life of faith, of justice and righteousness, rolling like an ever-flowing stream. Thank you to the Apostle Paul for reminding us that the work we are engaged in is work of truth, righteousness, that which is pono, the rightness of our very being, the good news of peace, and a life of faith. Thank you for the wisdom of our nation's leaders that recognize that Dr. Martin Luther King's life, legacy, work, ministry, mission is something to remember, something to make sure that we honor at least once a day, once a year, if not every day of our lives. And so tomorrow, the day that is set aside to celebrate Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s life and legacy, his mission and ministry, his living embodiment of what Amos called us to, what Paul called us to, there are a variety of ways in which I know you all are going to mark this day. Many of us here on this Zoom screen are used to, on that Monday, gathering at Ala Moana Park and joining together with other members of Church of the Crossroads and many other churches and other organizations and marching through Waikiki, remembering Dr. King. Apparently, that march is still going to happen. People are going to do everything they can to be safe. But we as a church, because of the increase of all the COVID numbers all around us, have chosen to not make that something we are doing as a church this year. There are others of you that I know will mark it, though, by doing acts of service, as many people have called us to on this day, to mark his life and his ministry by acts of service. And there are others who will be working. Those who are in our service industries so that are working hard, although they're being paid little, so that others can have a day off. And there will be some of you I know who will just take a day of well-needed rest. And I want to encourage you all to do one other thing. I want to encourage you all to take maybe a half hour, 30 minutes to an hour out of your day tomorrow. And I want to encourage you to read 3 of Dr. King's sermons or speeches, the first of which is the most familiar, and Renita is going to put them up into the chat, and you'll be able to capture those if you want, but later on in the week, I'll send these links out to everyone as well, so if you miss it, so be it. You will get them a little bit later. The first is probably the most familiar one. It's the speech that he gave on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, the speech that we know is I Have a Dream speech, and I want to encourage you to not just skip to the end in which he gives the powerful eloquence of his dream, but read all the way through in his articulation of the reality of 1963 when he was giving that speech. The second speech is one that the link will go up in a minute that is known as the Beyond Vietnam speech. The speech was given on April 3rd, 1967 at Riverside Church in New York City, 1 year to the day of his last speech. It is a speech in which the bond that Dr. King had with the mainstream was in many ways forever broken, because he had the audacity in that speech to call out the United States for what he called the giant triplets, the trinity of racism, extreme materialism, and militarism. And in that speech, he called for the end of the war in Vietnam, reminding us that we were sending the sons and brothers and husbands of the poor at home to fight and die in extraordinary proportions, extraordinarily high proportions relative to the rest of the population. We were taking, he said, the black young men who had been crippled by our society and sending them 8,000 miles away to guarantee liberties in Southeast Asia, which they had not found in Southwest Georgia and East Harlem. And the third speech I would ask you to read is the one that is known as From the Mountaintop. It's the last speech that he gave on April 3rd, 1968 in Memphis, when he famously concluded, "Well, I don't know what will happen now," he said. "We've got some difficult days ahead, but it doesn't matter with me now, because I have been to the mountaintop," he said. "And I've looked over and I've seen the promised land, and I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. And the very next day, he was shot. When we read these speeches, the temptation always, when we think of Dr. King, the temptation always is to go straight to that vision of the promised land, that vision of the dream that he so eloquently evoked on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial 5 years earlier. That one day in the dream, he says that this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed, that we hold this truth to be self-evident, that all are created equal. That one day, he said, on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. That one day, my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. It is tempting to go to that dream because it is such a beautiful dream. It is such a beautiful vision. It is such a view from a mountain in which rivers and streams of justice and righteousness flow unimpeded and gloriously, in which fountains of peace and pinnacles of love stretch as far as the eye can see. It is a powerful view from that mountaintop. But to see from that mountaintop, required a whole set of valleys to move through and mountains to climb before you ever get to that mountaintop to see to the promised land. Valleys and mountains that were ever present in his words and in his life's work. In 1963, there on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, he spoke to a nation and he reminded them of the desolate valleys of segregation from which they still must rise. He reminded them of the quicksands of racial injustice from which they must lift themselves. In 1963, 100 years after President Lincoln had signed the Emancipation Proclamation, he noted that 100 years later, the Negro, he says, still is not free. 100 years later, the life of the Negro is still sadly crippled by the manacles of segregation and the chains of discrimination. 100 years later, he said, the Negro lives on an lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast oasis of material prosperity. And there are consequences, are there not? There are consequences for such a reality, and it is dealing with those consequences that he devoted his life, and the folks that were the people that worked with him and surrounded him and carried on his legacy and his ministry and mission dealt with the consequences of that reality. And it's not just the brutal realities, images that are forever seared in our mind, images of lynchings, of protesters being assaulted by water cannons and bully clubs and guard dogs and cattle prods, of bombings, his own house bombed in 1956 when he was just 27 years old. So the 16th Street Baptist Church in Birmingham bombed in taking the lives of four young Sunday school children just there to go to church. But the consequences of the reality that he painted 100 years after the Emancipation Proclamation are the far more subtle realities of systemic oppression. Access to true public safety. Rather, what was access to his community was too often brutality, systemic misrepresentation, and victimization. Access to truly equal education. Education, which is in many ways that one thing, that one best thing that can lift us out and give us the opportunity to find jobs that will pay for us a living wage, that is limited when your access to education is limited. Access to housing opportunities, practices of redlining, and limited access to banking institutions that prevented the opportunity for good and decent housing for way too many in his community. Access to voting, which is how we enshrine the best opportunities for change in our country. And access to healthcare, to a decent and fair way of living healthy and well. And now, almost 60 years later, it is fair to ask if in the difference between the reality of 1963 that Dr. King was portraying and fighting against and the dream reality that he was calling to us, are we still closer to the reality of 63 than we are closer to that dream 60 years later? And though the movement that he was part of sprung in many ways from a galvanized and mobilized Black churches and communities, it was not a movement for just the African American community, but one that called across the board and still calls us today. Case in point, you are hearing from me today on this Sunday of our Martin Luther King Jr. Peacemaker Award. And we are not hearing from our awardee, Josie Howard, though we are pleased that Josie is on this Zoom call with us. We're not hearing from Josie because she has come down with COVID. And it's not just Josie who has COVID. So too do many members of her Ohana and that she has been caring for. And we lift them up in our prayers today as we lift up Josie for a rapid healing from this moment. But so too, she informed me yesterday, is 50% of her staff at We Are Oceania. Wow, the company, the organization that she helped to found, the work of which is so powerful that we choose to honor her today with the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King, work that is encapsulated in their mission statement that says to empower our Micronesian community to navigate success while honoring the integrity of our diverse heritage. Advocating for the health of Micronesian individuals and families, empowering them to weave their indigenous skills, knowledge, being, and values with their newly acquired knowledge of their new community in Hawaii to reach their fullest potential, become self-sufficient. This is the kind of work that Dr. King's legacy empowers. And yet with 50% of their staff having tested positive, Josie tells me the following as we try to give hopes to the families who need food, PPE, cleaning items. I'm afraid that next week our services might close down because everyone is sick. And it's not just our staff who somehow are uniquely COVID struck. It is a reality for her broader community. And this is where those issues that Dr. King lifted up way, way back 50 and 60 years ago become the issues of today as well. And not just the issues for the African-American community from which he came from, but issues that stretch across the board. For here in Hawaii, our Micronesian brothers and sisters make up just under 2% of our population here in Hawaii. Somewhere between 18 to 20,000 people. The broader community, which they are also a part of, the Pacific Islander community, only makes up about 4% of our population. Yet, the Pacific Islander community accounts for close to one third of all the COVID cases here in Hawaii. 4% accounting for close to one third. The very realities that Dr. King spoke of for the Black and Brown communities in the 60s continue to be a reality, not just on the continent, but right here, for we do not live here on these beautiful islands in a place in which there is indeed a living wage, or fair and equitable housing, or for that matter, job opportunities that are fair and equitable. And for many of our Pacific Islander communities, the only jobs that are available to them are in the low-paying service industry, in which one third of the Micronesian community is the Pacific Islander community is employed there, as opposed to just 14% of the general population. There's a disproportionate representation in that industry that these are the jobs that are considered essential, yet are not compensated with a fair wage and often not given paid leave. And then they are forced to live into a place in which there is a high cost of housing and forced to live in homes that are too small for too many people. And though in theory, the U.S. government obligated itself to the Micronesian communities to provide for healthcare, that obligation has not been fulfilled to these communities, has not been filled for these people who make the lives of everyone else run smoothly, and yet have inadequate or no healthcare whatsoever. So when you now take all of those factors and you throw in an airborne illness like COVID, you have much greater susceptibility that we have built into the very fabric of an inequitable and unjust community in which we live. high susceptibility that stems in large part from at least two of that unholy trinity that Dr. King spoke of from Riverside Church in 1967 when he spoke about racism. And he spoke about extreme materialism, where too few have too much and too many have too little. But that third leg, that of militarism, the very mention of which could not be tolerated back in 1967, the very mention of which made him a pariah in the hearts of the mainstream media that had once been so supportive of him. So enamored were the powers that be with the prosecution of the war in Vietnam that Dr. King was vilified for coming out against it. Well, that militarism, it certainly plays a role right here in this story as well, does it not? After World War II till 1958, there were 67 nuclear tests conducted throughout the area of Micronesia. The last of those tests was in 1958, but for the next number of years within the Pacific region at Johnson Atoll, all the way until 1962, those tests continued. The largest of the tests that happened in Micronesia was of an explosive device that had 1,000 times the explosive capability of the bomb dropped on Hiroshima. And in fact, the total destructive capacity of those nuclear tests in that period from World War II to 1958 in Micronesia was the total destructive capacity was that of 7,200 Hiroshima bombs. The residents of those communities consumed contaminated water. Their plants were contaminated. Their seafood was contaminated. Their reef resources were contaminated. The very atolls in which they lived continued to this day to remain contaminated. Persistent health problems, including cancer and other disease and chronic illnesses. The third leg of that unholy trinity cost entire nations of their islands, their environment, their homes, and their lives. A reality that feels all too eerily familiar right now as we see the aquifer of an island at risk from contamination because of that third leg of this unholy trinity, that leg of militarism, all given because they were expendable in the name of defense, national security, the feeding of what General Dwight Eisenhower as president would warn us of, a military-industrial complex. The test stopped in 1958. It took until 1984, an entire generation and more, for the US government to take responsibility for the impact on the lives of many when the Compact of Free Association was negotiated, allowing for the peoples of these diverse island communities and nations to be able to live, work, receive education and healthcare in the US without the need for visas, obligations that by any analysis have only been marginally met, and have thus contributed to a community being so susceptible to time of a viral threat. And thank God we have people like Josie and organizations like We Are Oceania who are doing all they can to fill in the gaps, to build resiliency where responsibility has been neglected and ignored. I know as I look on the screen here and see the members of Church of the Crossroads and the community that is here with us today, I know every person here longs for that promised land that Dr. King saw from the mountaintop in 1968, longs for that dream that he articulated in 1963. We truly do believe that we shall overcome. I do believe. But be clear, we are not there yet. The struggle continues. Those struggles continue right here when we see entire communities disregarded, dismissed, and put at risk. The struggle continues today when the entire freshwater supply of an island is held in balance, awaiting our own military to do the right thing. Those struggles continue today whenever a law is passed that limits rather than expands the right to vote. That struggle continues today when color of skin, size of wallet, titles on the door matter more than character and conscience. We are reminded to join in that struggle every day, to live into the very title of Dr. King's last book, which was, Where Do We Go From Here? Chaos or Community? We are called to the latter. On April 3rd at Riverside Church, Dr. King reminded us of the work that is ahead. Talked about the story of the Good Samaritan. He said, on the one hand, we are called to play the Good Samaritan on life's roadside, but that will only be an initial act. One day we must come to see that the whole Jericho Road must be transformed so that men and women will not be constantly beaten and robbed as they make their journey on life's highway. True compassion, he reminded us, is more than flinging a coin to a beggar. It comes to see that an edifice which produces beggars needs restructuring. That's the work that we are called to. That is the work that we honor Josie with as we award to her the Martin Luther King Jr. Peacemaker Award, something that we look forward to doing in person when the surge is done, when she is feeling better, when her community can gather with us so that we can truly say mahalo and thank you for carrying on this legacy of this work in this community that we so desperately need. And we need to join with Josie in the work that we are Oceania is doing and in the work that we are each called to as individuals in community. So I want to encourage you all. When this worship service is over, take a little break for lunch and then get back on the Zoom this afternoon at 12:30 and see what the Peace, Justice, and Stewardship of Creation mission team is asking our church to be able to acknowledge and support at our annual meeting next week in terms of legislative activities. You heard Richard talk about gun control, fair housing, living wage, and Red Hill. Join that Zoom. See how you can be involved. I invite you, encourage you to reflect on what you have been engaged in, how you will continue to be engaged. For this is the work that we are called to, and I encourage you all to rejoice. To rejoice in being part of a community that sees itself as an outpost of the beloved community, that is committed to not just dreaming dreams, but making dreams a reality. Let us celebrate that reality too. On this day and tomorrow, when we honor that legacy of Dr. King, may it be a time in which we commit ourselves yet again to being part of that long road, being part of that moral arc of justice, being part of that way of love. Amen. I invite you all to continue in an attitude of prayer with me. The very first prayer that we lift up today is indeed for our Martin Luther King Jr. Peacemaker Awardee for this year, for Josie Howard, for her healing, for the healing of her community. We are Oceania, her staff there, for the broader community that she works in, for their healing, and a prayer of gratitude for the work that they do. God, hear our prayers. This prayer comes to me from Liz, asking us that we would remember in prayer today Kazui Miyashiro, who is having back troubles. God, hear our prayers. And Liz asks us all to pray for Millie Miyashiro, who is in rehab after a couple of falls in the last few weeks. God, hear our prayers. Shanti asks a number of prayers here. In addition to celebration for her mother's 100th birthday, she also asked for prayers for all of those involved in the outcome of Tonga Islands and the surrounding areas that were affected by the volcanic eruption and the tsunami that was generated. She asks us to also continue in prayer for those that were involved in the standoff at the synagogue in Dallas. Asks us to keep in prayer people who, like her mom, were interned, were not given the chance for parts of their lives to live as fully as God has called us to. And lastly, she prays that we all get our vaccines, our booster shots, etc. God, hear these prayers. Corinne sent this prayer from Boston. We would appreciate prayers for her husband, Chungi, who has completed the first week of treatments at Dana-Farber here in Boston, holding steady, and as expected, continues to be optimistic. God, hear our prayers. And from Coral, she says, ask for continued prayers for her son-in-law Armando's healing as he deals with PTSD. Linda, prayers?
Yes. Yes, there are some prayers. Janet Gilmar asked for prayers for everyone suffering from the volcanic eruption in Tonga. And I actually have some prayers. The first one is for Jake, who is my neighbor, whom I never see him. He's a very quiet man, and I think he must work at night because I never see him during the day. But yesterday I happened to run into him in the parking garage, and when I casually asked him how he was, he turned to me with tears in his eyes and said that in the last few months he had lost both his mother and his father and his sister. His parents both died of COVID and his sister of cancer. And so I asked for prayers for him, for strength, for comfort, and for healing. Prayers for Kalani Akea Wilson, who is a member of the Conference Justice and Witness Missional Team. Kalani Akea and his immediate family and his extended family are all struggling with COVID. And prayers for George Harris and his wife, Lourdes, and for Abby, their daughter, who has an incurable brain cancer.
God, hear these.
God, hear our prayers.
Shanti, I see your hand is up. Shanti, do you want to go ahead and tell us your prayers?
Oh, shoot. Okay. One asks, is that the reason why Amy has not been awarded the Martin Luther King Jr. Peacemaker Award? Is it due to the fact that her family and friends take control to give peace to the country? Shalom.
Okay. God, hear those prayers and hear those.
Oh, I got to put it down.
Thanks. And I want to, just before we head into saying the Lord's Prayer, I want to pray for little John and big John, our son-in-law and our grandson who are with us. Big John, who has now been deployed to Estonia, and little John, who is adjusting to a new family here in Kailua. If we could keep both of them in our prayers. God, hear our prayers. Let us continue in prayer by saying together the Lord's Prayer as it comes on our screen. Eternal Spirit, Earth Maker, Pain Bearer, Life Giver, Source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echo through the universe, the way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the world. Your heavenly will be done by all created beings. Your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. For the bread we need for today, feed us. For the hurts we cause others, forgive us. To forgive those who have hurt us, empower us. Times of temptation and tests, strengthen us. From trial too great to endure, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. We reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen.
Morning, and now we come to one of our favorite parts of our service, time to respond. Karen and I have been around Crossroads for more than four decades. Our experience is that one of the more enjoyable things at Crossroads is the opportunity to share with our fellow congregants. We all know times of sudden tragedy. We all know times of battles we might win at times, and the joy we have with those. Our joys are enhanced when we can share them with others. The tragedy is less heartfelt when we can share those with others. Dr. King also did a fair amount of sharing of his energy and his passion. He made his reputation in the south of the U.S., but he took his campaign north, where he ran into entrenched racism. He took his campaign to Hawaii, where he saw examples of racial harmony. He went to India and saw more about nonviolent action. He went to South Africa and saw the effects of apartheid. He worked hard for years. He was rewarded with legal victories, political victories, and the Nobel Peace Prize. Let's follow his sharing and our sharing with your sharing. We'll have some offertory music.
What does the Lord require of you? What does the Lord require of you? Justice, kindness, unending with your God. To seek justice and love kindness and walk.
Dr. King had the intention to go broader and deeper with his messages for peace and justice. He had several years in which he was able to advocate for economic justice, you know, justice for the poor, and advocate against our war in Vietnam. As David mentioned, Dr. King died in April 68 in Memphis. He had traveled there to help sanitation workers in their campaign. The dream lived on. The dream was carried on by folks who had worked with Dr. King, Reverend Jesse Jackson, Representative Lewis, poet Maya Angelou, activist Angela Davis. That string of leaders worked its way down to our own community, where we honored some folks who had shown leadership in trying to make progress toward peace and justice, trying to lead us toward that beloved community. That legacy also passes on to us, and it's up to us to carry that message in our day as we move ourselves toward paths of peace and justice. Thank you.
We'll walk hand in hand. We'll walk hand in hand.
Live the reality to make those dreams happen. Iho o kahi kahi kamanao. Iho o kahi kahi puuvai. Iho o kahi kahi ke aloha. Let us be united in one spirit, one blood, one love. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Don. Thank you to the Aeolian Choir. Thank you to all the folks who participated in today's service. And most of all, thank you, Josie, for who you are and the work that you do. May we all join in that legacy and continue in that work. Let's take a moment to unmute ourselves and share a little bit with one another before we send you all off to breakout rooms.